And here he is, folks, the man who needs no introduction, the working class academic of Deeper Centile Podcast, is Dave Aldridge.
Come in, my child, out of the cold, and listen how the story's told. From fairy tales to happenstance, the dice rule every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while, we're rolling that deep percentile.
Hi everyone, it's Dave. I forgot I had that intro from Spike Pit. I was looking around my folders the other day and I found that, and I thought in light of the content of, well, the episode to which most of these call-ins are responding, I thought I'd play it again. Listening to it now, I'm tickled by how Colin parenthesizes the word academic. You can really hear the kind of pause for amusement that he does there. So I got a whole bunch of responses here on linguistic prejudice, pedantry, and so on, including one from Barry, who I think this is the first time that you've called in. So thank you very much indeed. And of course, a shout out for Shadow of the GM.
Hi Dave, it's Barry here from Shadow the GM podcast. Just catching up on episode 134, where you're talking about dictionaries and, you know, definitions of words, and talking about a lot about linguistics and your day job. And wow, I feel like I've had a massive education there. To be honest, I love things like that. I used to watch loads of programs about looking at what words originally meant and where they came from, and a lot of things about how language has changed and how it evolved. And I mean, I'm a hypocrite. I tell my children off all the time for, you know, using words in new ways. And like, I tell them off for saying sick when they're not unwell, you know, things like that. But really, I do kind of understand that is how language evolves. That, you know, each generation gives their own meanings to things. And thinking a bit about the lexicon of our own little niche group as well, it's one of those things that, you know, I mean, I work in the NHS as well, and the health sector is another place where there's all these words that have different meanings there. So it's quite an interesting sort of topic, I think. And thanks for sharing. I really loved it. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Barry. I really appreciate the call-in. It's good to hear from you. It's good to hear a little bit about you as well. The suggestion about, yeah, some kind of lexicon for the hobby, I think is controversial. There's a lot of people who are really resistant to trying to pin down what we mean by a lot of these terms, but you're not the only one to suggest it. Chase suggests it later on as well. Be interesting to think about what kind of form that should take. Maybe it's something we start to have a little go on the Audio Dungeon Discord. I definitely think, well, I can't resist thinking of it in a kind of Devil's Dictionary kind of way, you know, an Ambrose Bierce kind of way. I'm wanting the definitions to be a little bit cynical and wicked, but maybe that's just me.
On language, you've just used the term counterintuitive, which I use, cracks me up every time, because there's really an interesting power thing in that, where it's kind of, where you're kind of saying, well, you know, you ordinary people, how you've thought about it is actually not how it is. Cracks me up every time, especially when I use it.
Yeah, nice one, Barney. That's Barney there of Loco Ludus. You got me. Out of one culturally elitist frying pan and into another discriminatory fire.
Hi, Dave. Spencer here. Really enjoyed your follow-up to the linguistic pedantry episode. And it's funny, while I'm listening, I'm thinking, oh, I must call in about that. I wonder if he has considered this, but you're so thorough that by the end of the podcast, everything I was going to call in about, you've pretty much covered it. So, yeah, I'm kind of calling up to say I've got nothing more to add. But in the episode that I did as a follow-up to the OSR episode, I played your message, but also in that episode, I refer to the dictionary to justify my use of the term old school. And I really feel like, yes, I've had my wrists slapped for doing that. So thanks, Dave. Oh, and something else had occurred to me, actually, and it was the regional meaning, the regional use of words in the southeast, where I'm from. I would readily use a word that David Cameron got in trouble for using on daytime TV, on a morning breakfast news programme, and it's the word now. I usually consider that to be some kind of variation on twit. You may or not may not agree with that, but as you move further north up the country, it takes on its more traditional meaning of a slang term for female genitalia. So you really have to be wary about who you're talking to if you're going to invoke that word. So yeah, there's just something else to consider there.
Cheers very much for this. That's Spencer, of course, from Keep Off the Borderlands. I'm glad you enjoyed the discussion, Spencer, and I can forgive you a little bit of dictionary every now and again. What's a dictionary, really, between friends? Providing, of course, you're not trying to hit someone over the head with it, which is when I get a little bit resistant. I'm sorry, I did have to bleep you there, though, because this is a family show.
Hello, Dave, it's Che. I just want to say thank you for your episode 134, Red Rags, etc. Really enjoyed listening to you talk about pedantry and all those other things. It was great. Colin's question was also great. A couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, I wanted to say, yeah, you set yourself up a Patreon, mate, and I'll pay you a couple of dollars a month to talk about this stuff that you do day to day. And I know you're being flip, but I am being serious. And I reckon there might be others too. It's fascinating. The other thing was, I really do want to hear more about what you think about the language in our hobby. For me, it's critical. I've got Roleplay Rescue as a podcast, and I'm trying to draw people back to the hobby. And I need to think about the degree to which I educate. I try to educate. It wasn't my intention when I started, but that's what I kind of need to think about. And I would appreciate your help. And I think your episodes would help with that. One more thing. Right at the end of your episode, you were talking about how people reject books because the vocabulary is too difficult in the opening paragraphs. Do you think the inverse is also true? So, for example, often I'm reading fiction and I feel like it's boring me. And I wonder if sometimes it's because the vocabulary is too simple. And I don't mean that in a snobbish way, although it's going to come off that way. But I mean, just that actually there isn't a lot of challenging language and it's really easy to read. And sometimes that's really appealing. But sometimes it's just actually not that challenging. I wonder if other people have experienced that or if that's a thing. Or is it just me and my, well, inherent intellectual snobbery, which I'm very conscious of. And I just remembered, I also want to say thank you for pointing out about, you know, prejudice between classes, because, oh yeah, victim of that. Thanks, man. Game on. And another thought. This is Che again. We need a dictionary of role-playing terms. Someone needs to go. And I don't mean in terms of the definitions. I mean in terms of the history of the usage of those that language. You're talking about the Big Oxford Dictionary. If you go to the library, volumes and volumes, and it takes you through earliest usage. That's what we need as a hobby, you know. And I have no idea how to go about creating one, but that's the thing I think we need. Or am I mad? But I do think it would be helpful. Any ideas?
Hey, Che. Great to hear from you, Che of Roleplay Rescue. I really appreciate all these kind and supportive words. Lots of interesting things to think about here. Yeah, on the Patreon. I'm not sure the podcast itself is what I would ask people for money for. You're very kind. Of course, I have got my Mud Harbour Kickstarter launch coming up. I am hoping people will sling me just a little bit of money for some version of that. More on that later. On the lexicon, well, I'm glad there is there's support for the sort of general project of making some of this terminology a bit clearer. I suppose it's always in the hopes of integrating new people, isn't it? I'm never really sure of my listener base. I think most of the people that tend to call in are relatively experienced gamers. I'm not sure if I'm the most expert to do this. I mean, I haven't done my OSR episode that everybody else has done. I feel I ought to. But as I say quite often on the show, I feel sort of vaguely fraudulent around the OSR, given that although I was gaming in the 80s, I was playing other games, I came to D&D late, and I came to the OSR even later, at the point where I'd already tried on my own, you know, on my own to create the OSR all by myself, not being in touch with Google Plus or various other communities. I was trying to create stripped down versions of D&D, and when I finally got to all the old editions, which was not so long ago, I found that they were in many cases what I was trying to make, reverse engineered from 5th ed and 3rd ed, which is quite interesting. So I'm not sure I'm necessarily the best person to do that, but I think there is, you're right, there is a project there. Oh, I know what else I was going to respond to. Yeah, it was your comments about whether... whether your literature needs to be a little bit more complicated. I mean, certainly my taste, I think, is in tune with yours. I like my literature to be a little bit on the more, you know, the denser, more elusive end. I think things are more fruitful. They're more deserving of repeat reads when they do have that sort of nice layering within the language that I think... you know, you can only really achieve with a little bit of complexity and density. But that might be a matter of taste. And sometimes, you know, you just like a nice, clean, easy read. Depends what you're, you know, if you're just reading for adventure and some interesting ideas, then I'll happily read a nice, you know, fast-moving bit of adventure literature. But I think if I really want to be immersed and entertained, then I'm with you. I like something that's a bit deserving of repeat reads, mulling over, where you can find new things in it when you go back to it. I mean, there is an interesting thing in my professional life around, you know, academic work more generally, and then philosophy more specifically, about whether it needs to be easily understandable. You quite often read criticisms of philosophical work that, you know, why couldn't the writer have just put it a little bit more clearly? Why couldn't it just be easier to understand more quickly? Why has it got to be so hard? You know, and there's this idea that good style in academic work needs to be clean and quickly able to be understood. Now, there's something in that. You know, there's no point making things complicated when you could make them easier. But on the other hand, sometimes you have just got to read a few things before you can understand other things. You know, that's part of the academic existence. You wouldn't bother asking people to do undergraduate degrees and so on if you didn't think that there were things it was worth asking people to get into so that they could understand other things. And so I'm always nervous when students sort of early in their academic career say, well, the problem with that is it's just a bit difficult to read, so I'm going to go for something easier. You kind of think, well, maybe there is some value in working a bit to understand something. And certainly for my own work, I kind of think, well, you know, it doesn't want to be too easy, does it? Because it's hard. The ideas are hard. The thinking's hard. And if it wasn't hard, no one would be paying me to do it, would they? We'd all be doing it. So I go round in circles on that one. And I'm going to finish with a call in from Arlen Walker of Live from Pelham's Wasteland, setting me straight on the matter of the dictionary.
Dave, it's Arlen. You said there is no the dictionary, and I'm going to stop you right there, that there are two the dictionaries. There's the dictionary, the sort of amorphous mass of different publications by different groups run by and supported by different scholars trying to determine historical usage up to the present day. And then there is the Dictionary of the English Language by the one and only Samuel Johnson, and that is the dictionary. And really, if we want to be super, you know, not pedantic at all, as I'm going to show based on the definition that's in Samuel Johnson's dictionary, turns out what it says about pedantry, awkward ostentation of needless learning, which gets us to, is that only linguistic? No, it's not only linguistic. It could be all sorts. Could be all sorts of learning. Although in particular, Samuel Johnson has pulled out a couple of choice quotes. Pedantry about quoting Horace, pedantry about a reserve of puerility that we have not shaken off from school. The pedantry of a quotation from Latin, and from the universities, the young nobility are sent for fear of contracting any airs of pedantry by a college education. That's Jonathan Swift. Anyway, my point being that really, out of, if nothing else, respect for Dr. Johnson and his monumental labors, that maybe we should just use his dictionary and not care about any of the other ones, in which case we have a definitive answer to our question of whether it is possible to have non-linguistic pedantry. That's what I was going to say when I was cut off so rudely by Anchor. Also, man, your listeners are a bunch of like descriptivists, and there's a lot of that going around, and I don't know. I'm not sure how Dr. Johnson would feel about that, considering that he basically says we would be prescriptivist, except for the fact that it's really hard, but it's a sort of chaotic undertaking in order to be truly prescriptivist. So I don't know. There's some food for thought there. All right. Take it easy, Dave.
Yeah, cheers for that, Olin. I enjoyed it very much, and I stand corrected. And that's your lot. That's it from me for this week, probably. It's Friday. I'm recording with the Worms tonight. So we'll have a few more episodes stacked up. We're managing to put things out fairly regularly early in the week. Look out for something early next week. Not quite sure what it's going to be. I think it may be the second installment of our Riddling Reaver actual play. You were listening to, in order of appearance, Colin, the legendary Spike Pit, Barry of Shadow of the GM podcast, Barney of Loco Ludus, Spencer of Free Thrall of Keep Off the Borderlands, Che Webster of Roleplay Rescue, and Arlen from Live from Pelham's Wasteland. Thanks to everyone for the call-ins. Keep them coming. I'll catch you soon.
Twat.